So the first reading is from Matthew 25, verses 32 to 45. I'll just give you a second to pull out your Bible if you need time to do that. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the goats from the sheep. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the one least of these, you did not do for me."
Our second reading can be found in Matthew chapter 2, reading from verse 13 to 23. And it can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bible. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, and he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time. He had learned from the Magi then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled that he was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Thank you.
Thanks, Matt, and everyone else. I'm aware that things like this are easy to become issues for making people feel guilty. And guilt's about the worst motivation of all, isn't it? I'm certainly not, and had no intention at all before in giving those facts. What I'm interested in, I guess, is someone who, and I don't read a lot of the media, I suppose, because I just get confused because you read so many different things depending. But I think it's so important for us to just be aware, I guess, of how our attitudes and therefore our actions, our beliefs are so moulded in the society that we live in by the media. And so there's ways of finding out more accurate figures sometimes and truths about a whole lot of things. And there's a couple of websites there in the newsletter that may be helpful this week, as there'll be lots of things on around the place to do with Refugee Week, and it goes up to next Sunday as well. And there's some positive actions and positive things that we can think about. And one of the things I love about Paul and Terry is that what they're passionate about, they want their kids to be passionate about. And I guess that's true for all of us as parents. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to the things that are close to our heart, certainly with the Lord, and then the outworking of that. It's really appropriate for us to remember refugees today. And why is that? It's because Christians remember that Jesus was a refugee. The passage that we read there, where he's forced to flee. Often we read scriptures sometimes, I think, and we segregate certain parts of it. This is sort of introductory kind of stuff, and then this is the real meaty stuff. And yet it's all there, it's all inspired. Putting ourselves into the context of situations is so, so important. Sanctified imaginations we talked about last week, didn't we? The Lord Jesus, forced to flee from the merciless extermination of all the children in his village. How update is that? Another paranoid despot, King Herod. Joseph takes his defenseless child and his wife, and under the cover of darkness, they make their escape south to Egypt, which is not under the rule of Herod. Still under the rule of Rome, and so it was easy to get there because of the roads, but they were safe. And they remained in Egypt. We don't know for how long. Could be 3 or 4 years, depending on the historic, the fact of when Herod died. But they were there until Herod dies. And so, safe to come home, they return, but on discovering that Archelaus is now on the throne in Judah, and he was a cruel, heartless ruler as well. They find themselves in this position, having arrived back with hardly anything, to again having to pack their meager belongings, and this time to flee north to Galilee. Herod Antipas, who was a much calmer king, ruled in Galilee. And there's much evidence in the history that Galilee had become a place of refuge for many who were fleeing the iron rule of Archelaus. We believe all of that. So therefore, how important is it for Christians who live in free countries to realize that the Christ once needed people from other countries to take care of him, to give his family refuge, to share their food, to share their shelter with him? How important is it for refugees to realize that the living God has literally been in such frightening circumstances as they themselves have been through? That God is not just aware of their sufferings, But he shares in those sufferings, and he shared in their suffering, in their plight, in his son. He was vulnerable. He was fragile. He was helpless as a little babe. And it's in that context that he understands. And this is something for us Christians who've grown up in the West and grown up probably with our blessings and with our securities, that is something that we have to enter into. And sometimes the only way we can enter into that is through suffering of our own. And the way it often works is through compassion. Compassion is where you share in the sufferings of others. Even if you yourselves may not have had that suffering, but you suffer as you share their suffering. That's what the word means. In everything, Jesus said to us, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's been coined down the ages as the golden rule, isn't it? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit's help. We can't do that without the love of God. How were the sheep and the goats separated? Not primarily by their actions, though it may read that way at a glance, but by the motivations of their actions, the things that caused them to visit those in prison, to share their food with the hungry, to give clothes to those who had none. It was a sign, obviously, of this divine love within people to be able to do that. That's not a humanly possible thing. We're not like that left to ourselves. So how important, if Christ said that about doing to others as you would have them do to you, how important for those who follow the Christ to put themselves in the place of those who are in those circumstances, and in this situation, those who arrive. Friendless, jobless, homeless, helpless, and often hopeless. We read in Hebrews, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison. Could we call a detention centre prison? Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. It's Hebrews 13. So it's just a matter of responding, isn't it, to what God brings across our path and being as open as we can be in our everyday lives. It's easy to avoid practical obedience, I think, by keeping this issue in the theoretical, political kind of arena. Just having discussions amongst ourselves in society as to whether it's right that we do this or right that we don't do that, that the government do this or the government do that, or this or that or something else. And the real issue is in the concrete, isn't it? The real issue is the family next door. The real issue is the mother in a burqa in Coles in front of us who's struggling with her three children to load everything up into the bags and then somehow get it out to the bus stop. It's in those concrete areas. The lonely child who hangs around at school when it's all over because both parents are out trying to find work. In the area where maybe the mother from school invites us over for a cuppa. Or the man that we find, like I saw a man the other day in town, who was obviously lost and couldn't speak anything that I could understand. It's in those kinds of areas, and they happen all the time, don't they? And it's not about, oh, well, suddenly do all of that to, you know, someone from Afghanistan or whatever. We just do that. We just do that to anybody, don't we? We don't, you know, either segregate that way or this way. It's about whoever is in need. It's just that God is bringing the world to our door. And we can look at it in two ways. We can look at those people as a threat, or we can look at those people as an opportunity to do that for which we have been recreated to do, and that is to love. We are the most in harmony with our living God when we love. We are the most like ourself, our true self, that he is remaking us when we love. When we don't love, when we close off, we get out of step with that. We are the most human in the full sense of that word. I don't mean sort of secular humanism where man and woman rise up to the... I mean, well, yeah, where they rise up, but they rise up to become the human that we can be in God. That's the true human. And so here are these situations every day. We can look at those things as threats to our own comfort or our own whatever. And that's exactly true on a Sunday. It's exactly true with anybody. It's exactly true with our own children. You don't realize how selfish you are as an adult until you become a parent. Then suddenly you're challenged with all of this selfishness that you find in yourself because you're putting yourself out. You're reaching out to that other. You're trying to think of life from their point of view. How are they looking at things? How are they feeling? And you realize just what a challenge that is. And it's only possible, as we said, through the constant filling of the Holy Spirit. But when we get to those moments and when we have those moments throughout of a week, who's the one that's blessed? The one that is allowing the love of God to flow through them. The other one may be blessed, but they may not recognize they're being blessed by God, but we do. And to live like that, to be like that, if it's more like Christ, then surely it's just a far better way to live, isn't it? There's lots of practical things that we could do. I'd love to take the time to throw that open. Maybe we could do that amongst ourselves afterwards when we're having lunch together. Of what are some sort of things we could do? What are some of our stories that we could share, we could tell? God gives us the opportunity to share his love with people from all parts of the world now. Choice comes back to us. Do we, as Christians, want to just reflect the self-serving, hard-hearted values and priorities of our society and those around us? Or do we want to exemplify the values and the generosity of our King and his kingdom? Who will God bring across our path? That's the adventure of life. pile out of bed in the morning, even if you don't feel like getting out of bed. You know, and I'm not saying that this is what I do. You ask my wife. I struggle as much as any of you do, probably more than you think. Who do you want me to love today, Lord? Unconditionally. No strings attached. No conditions. No distinctions. Who do you want us to love today, Lord? Who are you loving? How can we be a part of that? What are you doing in this person's life? How can we feed into That's one of the most wonderful, wonderful honours and privileges that God could ever give us. To lift us up close to his heart and then carry us into the lives of others that he's touching and loving and caring for and reaching out to. And all of that is because of grace. All of that is because that's how big God is. It's not because we're good and the people might think we're good. It'll always be because God is good. So good that he can take us and use us to bring good into other people's lives. Whether it's a patient on a ward, Kim, whether it's someone in a checkout, whether it's a child at school, whether it's someone who's lonely and their family never visits them, whether it's someone sitting in a doctor's waiting room and they look troubled, and they're waiting to hear the news. Lord, how can we love this week? Loving Father, that's our prayer. And we pray that you will answer it in the ways that you know is best. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last song we're going to have today is The Potter's Hand.